Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index podcast, episode 216. I'm Trev Denny, coming to you from the soon-to-be transformed study in my home in a field in beautiful rural Ireland. I'm joined as ever by the fresh fruit enthusiast, Carl Kopak, and the crumpet abuser, Cam Branch, while in the background always observing and offering up hot takes in the chat box is Guy Drinkle. Now, in these days of what I actually personally perceive to be sort of deliberately stirred up tension between the genders, I was quite tickled by a midweek memory of something James Joyce wrote in his short story, A Mother, which is in Dubliners. And it just has a lovely sort of modernity and honesty to it some 100 years later. And it struck a chord with me. And in the way that we do here, I just said, okay, I'll share that with folks. So, like I say, a little quote from A Mother, one of the short stories in Dubliners, which if you haven't read, you have missed out, one of the great books. And it goes like this. Mrs. Kearney was somewhat reassured, but she thought well to tell her husband part of her suspicions. He listened carefully and said that perhaps it would be better if he went with her on Saturday night. She agreed. She respected her husband in the same way as she respected the general post office, as something large, secure, and fixed. And though she knew the small number of his talents, she appreciated his abstract value as a male. She was glad that he had suggested coming along with her. And there's something gloriously old-fashioned about that, that I found very warm the cockles of my heart this week. Carl Kopak, what's been warming the cockles of your heart?
I saw one of my favourite films again recently this week, so this is a quote from that, and I should say it's a tiny little bit X-rated, so cover your children's ears upon this. And if you can just picture a man playing the piano while talking to another man.
Great.
It's very pretty. Yeah, I've been fooling around with it for a few months. It's a bit of a departure from what you normally play. It's part of a trilogy, a musical trilogy I'm working on in D minor, which is the saddest of all the keys, I find. People would weep instantly when they hear it, and I don't know why. It's very nice. You know, just simple lines intertwining, you know, very much like I'm influenced by Mozart and Bach. And it's sort of in between those, really. It's like a mark piece. It's sort of, what do you call this? Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump. Thank you very much. Possibly the funniest film ever made.
It's an absolute belter. You better clarify just in case people
are saying. Even though you know that line is coming, it's the way he delivers it at the end.
It is. And the preamble is absolutely essential to enjoying the payoff.
And it is genuinely beautiful, the thing he's playing this little thing on in D minor on the piano. It's beautiful. It's called Lick My Lab Pump. That's from the film This Is Spinal Tap.
There you go.
If you haven't seen it, my God, steal a copy. God, it's fantastic. It's just every second of that film is amazing. And I can quote whole patches of it. I told them to put the puppet second on the bill. I told them a million times, you know, Artie Fufkin, all that sort of stuff. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And that's two cultural touchstones for people to go to there on the back of our two opening quotes. I like that a lot. Very contrasting, of course, but still both excellent. Mr. Branch, we had trouble getting hold of you there for a while, but you're with us. What is your opening thought for us?
Okay, this quote is from somebody who is 83 today. So there's a clue. To succeed in life,
That's a clue. It's someone's birthday.
Yeah. How's that not a clue?
Oh, yeah, that pulls it right down to a handful of people.
Well, it narrows it down to today that they were born.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, you know, I could have said it was yesterday. That would have confused you. So, here we go. To succeed in life, one must have determination and must be prepared to suffer during the process. If one isn't prepared to suffer during adversities, I don't really see how he can be successful.
83, so born in
1935.
35,
indeed.
Okay.
Make it any easier for me, to be honest.
Shall I give you a continent to make it slightly easier?
Yeah, go on.
Africa.
Right. It's not John Collins, is what you're saying. who is 83 today, apparently.
I didn't see her on the list today.
Oh, maybe I've got it wrong. I just Googled it and I'm just looking at headlines. I could be wrong. That could be from a while ago. African continent, 83 years of age. Go on, just tell us.
Gary Player.
Gary Player, of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. Jesus, yeah. One of the most annoyingly healthy men ever invented.
He also said that it's funnier the harder I try, the luckier I get. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that quote as well. Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
That is good. Yeah, he's full of wisdom. Gaz, fair play to him. 83. Well, say again.
Wasn't a bad golf player either. He was up there with the best ball, wasn't he?
To be fair, are you a golfer, Cam?
I enjoy the four majors and the Ryder Cup very much.
I imagine you don't play. Trousers.
I can hit a golf ball, not very well, but I.
But Kyle's right, isn't he? You if you're going out to hit a golf ball, you've got the plus fours and the flat cap, you know, bit of tweed up top. That's happening, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, you're not fooling up.
No, I can't say anything really, can I? I can't promise myself. You know, it's not going to wash, is it?
I honestly can't believe that we've never associated you with a set of plus fours before. They are absolutely the perfect branch wardrobe item, and I can't believe they haven't come up before. But I'm gonna make a point of mentioning it in the future.
One of those oversized caps.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The American golfer who always wore plus fours. I can't remember his name now.
Payne Stewart,
wasn't it? Yeah, and he had the oversized cap as well at times, didn't he?
Yeah, Bagger Vance cap. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm full of stupid information this evening. Let's start talking about some football before people lose the train of this completely. And I mean, we have we as you said earlier on before we went live, Carl, for whatever version of live this is. You know, we did pretty much call that match at the weekend. I think an awful lot of people would have been a little bit frustrated coming up to the 80th or 82nd minute or whatever it was. Before we ran in goals 2 and 3 in quick succession, or 3 and 4 rather, in quick succession. But, it was one of those matches which was never in doubt, even though some people were trying to suggest that it might have been a 2-1. It wasn't. It was a really, really sort of comprehensive, performance in most ways, with an awful lot of very, upbeat things and things to be positive about. So as usual, what I'm going to do is ask you for your highlights. I'll start the ball rolling with my favourite moment from the whole match, which had nothing to do with any of the goals at all, which were fantastic in and of themselves, of course, and some great performances. But when was the last time anyone has ever seen someone who was on their arse, back-heeling and megsing a fella and launching a counter-attack at the same time from his own dead ball line? Roberto Firmino, I absolutely salute you, sir, because he had a stinker and he still did that. Yeah. For me, that was just a magnificent moment of joy in the middle of that. It wasn't the most joyful of afternoons. But there were little moments like that. Carl, if you had to pick one or two even, what were the highlights for you from the weekend game?
It would be Xherdan Shaqiri recreating Robbie Fowler's goal in the 2001 UEFA Cup final.
Oh, good shout. Good shout.
The little step over to the line go past line. I love that.
Yeah.
That was just really, really nice. I love goals where you think he's got no room whatsoever. Oh, he's got the entire pitch in half an hour.
Yes.
If that sort of thing. That was amazing.
Wasn't there something very, very reassuring about, on the back of the conversation we were having, I think in the last one of these that we did, where I think I was saying that he was, for me, the sort of highlight of my season, just in terms of a bit of fun. And you know, we were talking about the contrast between, you know, who was your player of the season and what was the highlight of your season. And I was saying that Shaqiri was for me. Isn't it lovely, though, to see that guy, Carl, showing such poise in that scenario? A thing that, you know, was missing from the start of the season. The thing we were lamenting about how we couldn't put goals away, but there was beautiful poise about that goal. It was so deliberate, as you said, a combination of skill and sort of temperament, a fantastic goal.
The best thing about it is when you're in the ground and something like that happens, because we're all impatient and we're all dying to go 3-1 ahead, everyone in the ground is basically going, shoot, 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 come on, shoot, shoot, now, do it now. And he's going, no, if I just do this, that gives me an extra second, it gives me an extra half a yard, and it makes my job easier. And Torres was good at that. Torres loved the extra turn of his man, just to give himself a fraction more. So he could shoot if he wants to, but it's just easier if he does it this way. And that's the sign of an assured finisher. And the aforementioned Fowler was just fantastic at that. I know you want me to shoot now, lads, but believe, trust me on this. This is all right. I can just do this and take an extra second and watch that lad go hurtling past me, and it's going to look beautiful.
There's something almost even better about it. And Robbie was very good at these. He could obviously strike a ball as well as probably anyone I've ever seen. So he could hit them gloriously just in at the bottom of the post or top corner or wherever he wanted to put it. But there's something almost nicer about it when, unlike Shaqiri, it's just a sort of a scuff, bobbly thing, just like I've sold the whole defence and now just roll at the far side and walk away. You know, it is that poise thing again. And I suppose to come full circle on it, that's basically what I'm driving at. I was delighted that the little fella came on and sort of offered what he did, because, you know, we know that's going to be vital. And for all the naysayers who are talking about, for some reason, who can catch City? Well, we've already caught them. I mean, what the hell are people talking about?
Yeah.
Your dads out there talking about goal difference. Just take it easy, lads. I mean, you know, really. I mean, it's a bit early for that nonsense. And, you know, all we can do is win and win well. And you guys were saying last week, Cam, that both yourself and Carl saying that, look, this is the run of fixtures where we needed to fill our boots. It was the week before, actually. And with Huddersfield, we singularly failed to do that. But in the two games since, it's starting to clock in and starting to click in. And it's very encouraging from that perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and the difference has been literally having four attackers on the pitch rather than three, and then having the fullbacks pushing up further as well, because they know they've got the added protection of Ginny and Fab behind them. And I think that has been very telling in teams that are going to sit deep against us, that we need to have as many options going forward as possible, because they're sitting deep. They're not really attacking us, and Cardiff didn't attack us. You know, they didn't look like scoring. And that was obviously the biggest annoyance for me, was conceding that goal. I don't think I've been as annoyed at a goal being scored against us as that goal, just for the fact, I don't care, you know, who people want to blame. It's irrelevant, because in the grand scheme of the whole result, it didn't matter. It's the fact that we just conceded a stupid fucking goal. So But yeah, I mean, it's good to see that, you know, last two games we've got, you know, 4 goals in each game, and players coming off the bench having an impact on the game, and I think that's crucial as well. You know, if you look back to, you know, last season, even, and definitely the season before and the season before that, we didn't have a bench. We were relying on the 11 players on the pitch. So for the little man, you know, the pocket power cube Shaq to come off the bench and have the impact he did, I think it's brilliant. And then don't forget, you know, previous game, Daniel Sturridge and Lallana came off the bench and they made a difference. You know, they had an impact upon the game. And that's a great positive for us.
I think the fact it's more that we've got the game's done, but we've also managed to rest players and get more time in people's legs as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's the intangible stuff, but that makes a massive difference. Moreno's got 90 minutes behind him now, and that's good. You know, that gets rid of some rustiness should, you know, something bad happen.
It's the thing you were talking about last week. Of look, these guys need to get games. Whether you want to cry arse about Lovren starting or Moreno starting or the two of them starting in the same defence, and you may well have very valid cry arsing to be doing, you can see the logic behind it. And when it works, as it has done all along so far this season for Jurgen, then absolutely hats off, I say, because that's
when they're really playing one up front as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like that one who did manage to slide in and get that incredibly annoying goal that Cam said. And I don't know if you read immediately afterwards. I found it massively heartening to read Alisson saying, "I came off the pitch very angry, definitely, for having conceded. The objective for the entire team," he said, "is a clean sheet. So it's frustrating to have conceded." Then he went on about the platitudes, but it was the most important thing is a win, blah, blah, blah. But I like that he went there first.
Yeah, you should be annoyed. It's a stupid goal. It's an unlucky goal. I mean, Van Dijk a million times gets that wide, you know, and another million times Alisson keeps his legs closed. It's just, you know, perfect storm, and we conceded.
Yeah, 100%. When you think about it, and this is going to become a little bit more relevant later on when we finish out our football section of this, talking about the game that's coming up and the opposition in the shape of Arsenal. You know, we have conceded 4 this season to Arsenal's 13. And you can remember all of those 4 freaking goals. You've got that absolute shit show that happened, a fluky goal on the weekend. Alisson's sort of clanger was in there amongst them. You know, do you know what I mean? Concession of goals is a thing that you remember. Like, I mean, when was the last time you could say that you can remember every single goal that you conceded, because there's such a rarity?
Well, there was a problem with Brendan Rodgers, that Brendan Rodgers' teams conceded a goal, they conceded 2. Yeah. It was very rare we'd lose 1 goal in a Brendan Rodgers match. It was either none or 2.
Yeah.
And the defence used to capitulate. And this is the days of Sacco and, you know, people like that. And even including in the, you know, the time we nearly won the league, we were still conceding 2s and 3s all over the place.
Yeah. It's a different beast. Even when the personnel in the across the back 5, say, is changing, it is a different beast. There's a delightful sort of, steeliness to it now that we didn't have before. And as you say, even when mistakes happen, which, let's say, for example, that Alisson howler before, that really unfortunate goal, there are, you know, that previous incarnations of Liverpool would have started to slip, as you say, and it would have been 2 goals, 3 goals, and Cardiff get their tails up. And we know that story, but we don't have to put up with that story anymore, because we can trust these guys. And I've been saying it now for a season, full season, from the turn of last campaign, we can trust these guys completely.
Yeah, there was no panic. It's the same with Leicester as well. There was no panic. It was more a case of, go on, you've had your goal, but, you know, that's all you're getting.
Yeah.
There was that, rather than, oh, Christ, you know, there wasn't that feeling about it. It was just a general sort of, that's annoying. Okay, we're still going to win the game. No problem.
I think that's exactly right. There is no panic anymore.
Yeah.
There is a calmness, there's a serenity.
Serenity.
Yeah. You know, it really is. You know, it's peaceful. There's no panic. There's no pressure. You know, and that's where you want to be.
I assume you both witnessed the marvel that was the Bezzy's video between Virgil and Big Joe Gomez. Did you?
No. I haven't, no.
Ah, lads, what am I paying you for? Seriously.
I don't do the club stuff.
Carl, it's wonderful. And it's increasingly excellent, that stuff. It's, you know, the cringe factor has long since disappeared. This is just a good old bit of crack between two lads who clearly appreciate each other, and there's little bits of banter and crack, and it's fun. It's fun. Although I did spend most of the rest of the day calling people bro afterwards, which was unfortunate. I'm obviously a lot more suggestible than I thought.
That's only terrible.
No, safe blood. But you know.
On a similar tip, can I ask, because it involves the same man, on Sunday when that tweet came out, how many times did you sing the new Virgil van Dijk song to yourself?
Oh, glorious, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it glorious?
I think I must have done 7 straight hours.
Yeah. Sometimes one of those things just takes hold, and I love it. I love the original, and I love the way the lads have manipulated the lyrics in there. It's absolutely classic. And again, if people haven't seen either the Joe and Virgil chat or heard that song, go and look these things up, folks, because they are. The little things that make the week. And here, speaking of little things that make the week, and my second highlight of that match that I wanted to speak about is a sort of wishy-washy aesthetic thing that maybe won't interest many people. But when you've been watching the game for as long as I have and enjoying playing it and watching it, there's something very special about this sound that I'm going to talk about. Do you remember the sound when Mo's goal went in, the first goal where he's running across from right to left and he hits it back across the goals? And there's this lovely swish of the net and a clink where the rigging is pulling against the metallic structure of the goal. I love that. And we heard it immediately. We heard it soon afterwards when Sadio's thunderbolt went back across the other way. And boom into the side rigging, and there was that lovely kind of ping and swish together. I know maybe some people think I'm mad, but I absolutely adore that sound. It's just glorious. Do you know what I'm talking about, Cam? Carl seems to recognise it.
I love the sound when it comes off the underside of the crossbar and goes in. You know that clack, and it's gone in, and it bounces back up into the roof of the net. I just think there's something glorious about that. It doesn't happen very, very, very often.
The perfect one of those was John Flanagan against Tottenham at White Hart Lane in the 5-0, where obviously it was a big, because it was his goal and he was a local lad and everything. But the fact that it hit the underside of the bar and went in, but because it was raining, lots of rain fell at the same time off the bar.
Oh, nice.
Get your HD tellies in, because it was just beautiful.
A musical that just happened.
It honestly was. Whatever way that slow motion sort of wetness was coming off the net, it was beautiful. Oh, man. These are the kind of things that make football for me. I honestly think
we should have got an extra goal for that.
Yeah.
The ref should just say straight away, do you know what, lads? Let's call that too. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. And the Tottenham lads would have put their hands up and said, you know what, we can't argue with that. He's getting sacked anyway, so, you know, let's just go for 2 there. Fine.
Absolutely a fair call. You can have it, lads. Yeah, look, in the spirit of I've derailed us there from the actual football talk into sort of more esoteric nonsense, to get us back on the football itself and having a look forward towards the Arsenal game of the week and the specific challenge at that represents. Cam, I'll start with you. I mean, we had Fabinho being good again, which is nice. We have him in that new arrangement that you mentioned earlier on, that partnership he's developing with Gini Wijnaldum, which I'm massively enthusiastic about, I won't lie. In the same way that I'm hoping Joe Gomez, I'm hoping Fabinho does a Joe Gomez and sort of just, when he arrives in the scene, arrives fully formed in the position, like Joe has all season at centre half, and again when he's been needed at right back. I really hope that Fabinho, now that he's finally made his appearance, can just push on and be that guy that we can rely on in that position, because I think it does add a different sort of layer to the team that I really like. First question is, do you see him retaining his place against Arsenal, or do you think Jurgen's going to change it up? And the second question is, would you, if you were in the manager's boots, be playing him, and who would he be alongside for that particular challenge?
Do I see him starting on Saturday? No. Would I start him on Saturday? Yes.
Right.
So to answer your first question, I don't see Jürgen playing him. I think he'll go back to tried and trusted, and he'll go back to a 4-3-3, because against the bigger teams who aren't going to sit so deep and who are going to attack us more, he'll want the three midfielders in there rather than two. So for me, I can see him going 4-3-3, and I can see if Hendo is fit, I can see
Hendo going. He trained today on his own with, and so did Keita.
Right. Okay. That suggests then that maybe they might not be ready for Saturday then. But if suddenly Hendo is fit, I can see Hendo going straight back in as the six, because Klopp, reasons that I find difficult to see. Now that I've witnessed how good Gini is in at the six and how good I think Fabinho would be in there. I think he'll put Hendo back in at the six, and he'll probably, put Milner and Gini either side. He'll go for his strongest, most physical midfield he can, because he'll want to dominate the Arsenal midfield. What would I do? I would go Fabinho as the six, Gini to one side of him, and then probably Milner. But then I don't know how fit Milner is as well. That is a worry for me. I know he came on the other day, didn't he? I can't remember the lineup. He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't brilliant, was he? But he's finding his feet again. So, that's probably the three I'd go with. But my biggest worry is, Bobby had a great game against, Red Star, and then he was shocking against Cardiff. And Bobby's what makes us tick up top. And we need Bobby to tick on Saturday.
Yeah. Would you have any doubts that he will? Because I don't think I would.
No, because he's a mad bastard. Yeah. And, he one thing that Bobby will never do is he'll never go missing. He'll always be there. He'll always be harrying. He'll always be chasing. He'll always be wanting the ball. He will not go missing. He will be in the Arsenal defence's face. And the reason, we need Bobby there to play is because if Arsenal have got the defensive worries at left back, we need Mo on the right. And if they do play Xhaka at left back, Mo against Xhaka would be.
That's bad, by the way. Xhaka as a left back is absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. But the fact is that they run out of left backs. I mean, and what?
It's like us
playing Jimmy Milner there.
We will come on to them, because I do want to talk about Arsenal specifically. But just to keep it on that one specific topic of the midfield, Carl, and run it past you as well. A, the Fabinho question again. I mean, for you, would he keep his place? And do you reckon he will? And if not, who do you think is the likely? You seem to be assenting there to a three. So who do you think that will be?
I think he probably I would play for me, Fabinho myself. But I think it's significant that, for all the abuse he gets, Jordan Henderson always tends to do quite well at Arsenal away. He always has done. He's always had good games there, and maybe that might be in his head as well. And he is the captain. He is going to have to come in at some point. Although there's still a possibility that he might think, do you know what? I want my captain for Red Star. And Fabinho's doing okay. Why not? Let's not change that. As for formation, I think he'll do both, because I think he's going to play it in two different ways. I reckon this is going to be a 70 minutes, 20 minute game. But for the last 20 minutes, he'll change one depending on what the score is. I reckon he starts with 3-3 and then goes 4-2-3-1 if we're ahead, and clogs the field up a bit more.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And in that regards, then you reckon the likely three to start is if he decides not to take a punt on Henderson's fitness, let's just say, you do see Milner coming back in then, do you?
You need the experience. It's a big pitch.
So for you, it would be Milner, Fabinho, and Wijnaldum, and Shaqiri steps out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's probably
You bring him on.
Yeah, it's probably the most likely thing, to be fair. It's tough on the kid, so you know, he's really starting to push for a starting spot, I think. Speaking of the Arsenal, I mean, I'm very interested in Unai, or Vlad, as I call him, Emery. You know, he's an odd vampiric looking sort of fella. He's been a bit of a nightmare for us in the past. You cannot.
He reminds me of the tall bloke in the Flying Pickets. There's one for the teenagers.
Oh wow, what a shout that is!
I've only just thought that. Now that's been bothering me.
Sorry.
No, you know, if you're waiting for us to start the harmonies, Cam, it's not going to happen.
His name, by the way, was Red Stripe, as I recall. That was his really? Name in the Flying Pickets. Yeah, he's in the film Twin Town, which is also fantastic, I should say.
Well, actually, to be fair, that is just a wonderful shout. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google the. I think he was the lead singer, wasn't he, from the Flying Pickets?
Yeah, there's a bald bloke as well, but yeah, I think he was the main bloke.
He was pretty much the main bloke, and he had that sort of you know, vaguely vampiric head on him as well.
Looks a bit like a drunken coach driver. I don't know what I mean by that, but that fits in my head.
Yeah, I'm going to move along because that could be offensive.
Well, I was like picking up Harry on the buses then when you said that.
he looks like Blakey's mate. You know,
the little guy.
Please don't sue.
Yeah, bus drivers union onto us later on. So I mean, look, the thing about him is you cannot belittle what he's done. They were beaten, I think, back to back in their opening fixtures. They had two big games. Yeah. I think it was Chelsea and City, right? They were beaten in both, and you were starting to look at that squad and think, well, what have these got? But then you saw what they've got, and he's managed to get, whilst conceding a hatful of goals, he's managed to get results. Now, I don't particularly find them as intimidating as I might have when I consider that aspect, because I think, well, we can keep out attacking teams, we can keep out opposition, and we can score goals, and we've started to do it again. So I have a little bit of joy in me when I think about that. And you mentioned early on, Cam, I think, but this is it, Carl. They have a lot of defensive issues. I was looking at an article during the week, and you can just list off their defenders who are at various levels of being ready or not ready for Saturday. I think most of them will make it back, but there's quite a few of them there that were carrying knocks and that won't be 100% coming into it. So it is a very interesting prospect for them, especially seeing as that momentum, or whatever you want to call it, some people don't believe in that, has been slightly halted by them dropping 2 points to Roy Hodgson at the weekend. Yeah,
they got hodged. Their back four's really weird. I mean, Koscielny's going to be out, is back in training again. But, he's still a long way out. He's not going to be anywhere close for this game. I still can't believe they bought Callum Chambers. I really don't see why they did that. That just does not make any sense to me whatsoever. And they are easily got at, you know, and, you know, Cech's got a mistake in him these days, which is fair enough because he's been fantastic since he's been in the country. £6 million he cost. How annoying is that?
Yeah.
That's mad. You know, Monreal and Bellerin and people like that. These are not names which makes me think, oh my God, now what are we going to do?
Yeah, Bellerin, I think, is one of those ones who was carrying a knock, should be fit for Saturday. I know they played in the league.
Sorry, can I just say, I do know that Callum Chambers is at Fulham, but what I mean is it's the scattergun approach to buying defenders.
Yeah, well, the one who's come in for most flack is Mustafi.
Yeah.
I think an awful lot of people question, you know, his comparative worth. I suppose it's definitely not their strong suit, but if you look up the pitch, when you have the players that they have there and they're playing the way they can play, and they've got the Ozil in some kind of form, they've got Lacazette, who looks on his day a world beater.
When he plays with Aubameyang as well.
And they've got Aubameyang. And that's quite the trio. I don't care what anyone says. If they're on their game, they scored a gorgeous goal. I think it was against Leicester there recently, finished by Ozil. Just a beautiful flowing move. Just sort of old school Arsenal when they were good. So we can't take that attack lightly at all. Our defense will be really to the pin of their collar to keep them out, which is why I'm really hoping we see the two lads as a partnership at centre half. I really hope we see that, because I think we're going to need that against Lacazette and Aubameyang.
But I will say one thing, there's a way you can get to Arsenal, and that's kick them up the arse. They don't like that. Arsenal do not like being physically dominated.
Yeah.
And that might be another reason for putting Gomez in the centre.
That's very interesting you say that, because that's exactly what Jan Mulby said the other night as well, which is...
Well, this is quite what very similar people mean, yeah.
You are very, very similar lads yourself.
I played for Ajax as well, you know.
Yeah. Back in the golden era. But like, to be fair, you know...
Ajax, the cleaner, yeah? were you alongside Vim at the back?
Oh, what a partnership we made.
Yeah.
We did kill a lot of germs.
Stone dead. But it is a very good point. And you would question, and I know it's a bit cliched, but you would question the character of some of these. It's been open for debate. Would you think that's a realistic sort of approach for us, Cam, to be as steely as we've ever been, first and foremost, and then rely on our boys to do something up top?
That's why I said the midfield that I think Jürgen will go with, because it will be about the power, and Jürgen will want to put out the strongest.
He'll go with bastards.
Yeah.
He'll want bastards.
Yeah, that's why you have Jimmy Milner in the team.
Yeah,
you know.
Miller's just going to kick everybody.
He's going to kick out. That's what he's going to do.
It's what he did at Palace. That's exactly what Milner did at Palace. He kicks Zaha into the stand three or four times.
Yeah,
and that's what you need. And once you kicked Ozil a few times, it'll just disappear. he disappeared at the weekend. Where was he on Sunday against Palace? He was non-existent. He got taken off, and he had a scrap. When he got taken off, he didn't shake the manager's hand, I believe.
Did you see that game, Cam?
I saw bits of it. I was in a pub having a munch, and you know, I was glancing up every so often, and he was shockingly poor. So as good as he was the game prior to that, he was as bad on Sunday. You just don't know which Ozil you're going to get. So I think it comes down to who has the strongest defence, because both attacks are wonderful. And if you look at, if you're saying, oh, they've got a brilliant attack, which they have, to be fair, they have got a really, really good attack. I know Man City have got a better attack than them. And I think we dealt with them reasonably well. You know, yes, we should have lost. They should have scored, but that's by the by. They didn't. It was 0-0. So, I think it comes down to which defence will stand up better to the, you know, both attacks. And I think we'll win it.
Yeah.
I don't see why we shouldn't. We do well at the Emirates for some reason now. The last few years we've done really well there. We like to score goals there. We like that pitch. It suits us. It's a big open pitch and it suits us. And
I think the big thing
surface to play on.
The big thing for me is we won at Wembley, and that's a game I thought we might lose.
That's a really tough place for us to play for some reason.
But,
and bizarrely, it's a big pitch again.
A really big pitch against a team that likes to pass and use the pitch.
Yeah,
that's a hard game place to go through.
And we dominated
it. Yeah.
Well, further to your point, Cam, about the defence and something that we've all been saying, I don't know if you saw the little graphic that was going doing the rounds today or yesterday about Virgil. Basically, since his arrival, Liverpool's been the joint best defence across all the major European leagues, alongside Atletico Madrid, with only 14 goals conceded. Juve, I think, conceded 16. Man City 17, Bayern Munich 27, United on 30, and Barca on 32. And get this, Real Madrid, in that period of time where we've conceded 14, have conceded 44.
That's such a shame.
It tells you it's
a big club struggling like that.
It is horrible. It's horrible. But it does tell you a lot about the impact that Van Dijk has had. It tells you an awful lot about this budding partnership with Joe Gomez. It tells you an awful lot about what the good work that Dejan Lovren did last year, to be fair as well, when he did play well. And it does sort of justify, Carl, the things that Lovren was saying during the week, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it was tongue in cheek, where he's called on his comments about being the best in the world, and he said, "Well, I didn't say that. I said it was one of the best in the world." But he went on to throw some delightful shade at Mr. Ramos, who he said makes infinitely more mistakes than him. And those stats that I just called out would seem to bear that out. It's just that Real Madrid could go on and score more goals at all times and force their wins over that period of time. It's an interesting thing to think about.
It's very easy to have a slightly shaky defensive Ronaldo's getting four goals a game.
Yeah.
No one ever thinks about that, you know. Yeah, you know, Real Madrid won 8-2 at the weekends. No one ever thinks about the two, do they? So, you know, and that's why Madrid have struggled this year, I think, which again, I'm absolutely devastated by, but you know.
Yeah.
But, also speaking of Real Madrid, did you see the thing about, there was a poll by Madrid fans this week when they asked which player was letting them down the most, and it was Gareth Bale.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe he's not having a good season, apparently.
Yeah, there were stories as well about how they'd approach Klopp and he just had zero interest in it. And over the summer, quietly just told him to go and jump, which is very heartening to hear stuff like that. I mean, look, we got several. I'll just throw out the canvas. Is there anything else you want to say about the Arsenal game before we move on? Because we've got some football questions from some of the listeners.
Questions, bring it on.
Okay, well, look, here's the very first one. It's from Carl Matchett, who was on Raw with me last week and does a pod with Dave Hendrick on a regular basis for AI Pro. And Carl says, considering the recent return to 4-2-3-1, which we've sort of flagged up earlier on, and its various possibilities, which Carl was talking about may be the case in the second half against Arsenal, he says, what or who is your favourite type of number 10? Is it a playmaker? Is it a relentless ball winner? Is it a Gerrard-style surger, /scorer? He says, basically, the world's your stylistic oyster. Do whatever you want with this. What is your favorite type of player in that number 10 position? So I'll start with you, Cam, on that one.
My favorite 10 didn't actually play the 10, did he? John Barnes.
Right, but in that position, what type of player do you prefer? Even not necessarily a specific guy, but the type that you like to see there.
Someone like Peter Beardsley.
That was my answer. I've got another similar one to that, but yeah, I was going to go with Beardsley. He was number seven, of course, but
I mean, the shirt. That's why I was saying, you know, the shirt number obviously didn't relate here, but that position for me is about. It's about your creativity. It's your heartbeat in that little area. It's that final pass, that little dig, the little through ball, through the legs, you know, round the corner, you know, the little flick, with your back to the goal. So it just runs on for your strike, your number nine to just.
It's your pocket player, isn't it?
Yeah. It's your Peter Beardsley, Kenny Dalglish.
Well, I was about to say, hang on a second. How has this conversation gotten this far without Kenny's name being mentioned? And you know, of course,
he was all right, wasn't he?
He was all right. I mean, like you know, realistically speaking, the guy who can probably do that role best for us is the aforementioned Shaq, isn't it? It really is at the moment because he has the pass. He's got the strength. We spoke last week about the ability to roll a fellow with hips and. You know, he's got all of that. So for me, if we've got someone to play in that, he'd be the guy I'd like to see play there. Carl, have you any specific person apart from Beards that you mentioned?
Well, also I was going to say Adam Lallana.
Yeah, you are.
I always leave a little gap there for Trev to go, for God's sake. a very, very similar player to Peter Beardsley would be Pablo Aymar during his Valencia days.
Yeah, he was great.
He was superb.
Absolutely beautiful player to watch.
Joyous.
I love players who've always got time on the ball. Yeah. I love anyone who says, this is mine, and you can run at me all you want, but, you know, I'm still looking for the pass.
That's a joyous thing.
Yeah.
David Silva's the nearest thing we got to that today.
Yeah. Yeah, very similar.
I really wish, and this is where Carl rolls his eyes because he thinks I'm trying to be achingly hipster, and I'm not, but I really wish we'd seen more of Yari Littinen. Because I reckon him at his best for us would have been something special. You know, there was enough little glimpses of what he was. But I'd love to have had peak Yari Littman in a red jersey. I did like that footballer a lot. I like him in that position too. So that's hopefully.
I was going to say, can I tell you my favourite Yari Litmanen story?
Please do.
I absolutely love this. Do you remember? Well, you won't remember the game because, of course, you will. But we beat Tottenham 1-0 at Anfield, and Yari got the winner. And do you remember Andy Townsend's tactics truck?
I do.
Where you take a player in with a suit on,
yeah,
and I go through little bits of the match talking about to the player about tactics. And so we won 1-0. Yari gets the winner, and Andy Townsend did 7 minutes with Yari Litmanen. Remember, Yari Litmanen wore a salmon pink shirt, and the whole 7 minutes was. Oh, I forgot which player it was now. Just what a great player Teddy Sheringham was.
Yeah.
7 minutes later, you can see Yari going, I've scored the winner.
Yeah.
Honestly, just, you know, slightly wild eyes thinking, am I being set up? I'm fairly sure I've just won the game.
Yeah. But
the thing is, Yari, what Teddy does so well with his back to goal is this, and he's going, at the end, he just goes, yeah, it's good, yeah. Oh, it's joyous TV.
And that actually sounds brilliant. You can fully appreciate Yari's creeping panic there, because he is literally in the back of a white van.
Exactly. You know,
anything could literally happen. Yeah. He doesn't know this country. He certainly doesn't know Andy Townsend.
Yeah, exactly. Who exactly are you, mate? You're telling me.
I saw him at Birmingham Airport a couple of years ago, Andy Townsend.
Is he in Dubai now?
Well, I don't know, but he's got a huge think bloody something.
Yeah, he has, yeah. He's got a well-lived-in face. That's what I remember him when he was at Norwich.
Well, to be fair, he did a good turn for the boys in green, so I've got nothing but time for Andy. Maybe not as a commentator, but he was...
Well, I'm still trying to find out what's the difference between pace and genuine pace, because God, he talked about that a lot.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Jim Beglin? Who's the one who keeps going, it is Beglin? After a while, he just, for no reason, says, better. And everyone goes, Jim is more pleased now than he was a few minutes ago. About something. And we don't know what it is. But I do like that about Jim. He's kind of along with him. So he seems like a nice bloke, actually, I have to say, from what I've seen of his interactions on Twitter. Andy Wales is our next question. And again, it's red. And he says... Plugging his own show, which is glorious, glorious work by Andy here. He says, I've just finished recording Red's review and touched on the 08-09 side in the trivia section. He's even telling us the parts of his show, Andy.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's good. This guy's got it down. He said,
that's anyway, the name of the show, by the way. Andy Wales is the title of the show now.
We should make a song for him, Eric.
Yeah.
And you should sing it, Carl.
I want a mosaic.
Sorry, Trevor.
Of course, Guy Ritchie's saying that show is co-hosted by me, Guy.
Guy Ritchie.
Listen, we know.
Guy Ritchie.
anyway, he says that got us talking about the defence. So, who do you think from that team, the 08-09 side, could get into our current one? It's
God, loads.
Interesting about that. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? When you think about that, I mean, I know we're very enamoured with our current bunch. But, I mean, when you start thinking about it, that was such a collection of footballers. I mean, how does Javi Alonso not play? How does Mascherano not play? How does Torres not play?
Gerrard.
I mean...
The best Gerrard as well.
That was the best Gerrard. Wasn't he playing more wide right that year?
Well, no, in 2006, he put him on the right of midfield and he scored more goals in one season.
23 goals, I think, that season.
But he didn't like playing there. So he played him
in 10 and 09. 08-09, he was back to Carl's earlier question. He was basically
in 10, yeah.
10, you know, and it was him and Torres, and it was, you know, the toast of Europe. We were kind of untouchable, and something should have been won that campaign for sure. You know, it was close in the Champions League, close in the Premier League, but I guess those ones I've named out. Is there anyone else you can give a shout to that might actually break into the current side?
Sammy.
You do.
Sammy
here alongside Virgil.
So you're going Sammy and Virgil. Guy suggesting Arbeloa instead of Trent.
Different players.
They're very different players, but that guy was underrated. He was.
He was a brilliant player.
He was really good.
I'd have Yossi for the bench.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Robbo is our left back. I'm not even getting into that conversation with Carl.
No, please don't.
Wasn't Steve Finneran still around?
No, Arbeloa replaced him.
Stephen O'Gan, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Anybody else?
I'll have all of them, to be honest. You can have Albert Ribeiro, you can take him.
I want Yossi Benny in for the bench, all right, for sure. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if Torres is coming into your front three. Who's stepping out? Is it Sadio? And you've got Bobby behind. Bobby, you're taking Bobby out. It's a big shot.
Well, if you're going 4-2-3-1, if you're going 4-2-3-1, you're going to play Stevie G behind him, aren't you?
Should also say Torres did get 3,000 goals in 2 seasons.
Exactly.
You know, made your darlings and everything, but he was pretty good.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
I'd have Aurelio. I'd have Sadio, Stevie G, Mo, Torres up top, and then Alonso and Mash behind them.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that the Sena hasn't made it into your team, but, you know, I guess that's...
Adam Lallana?
Christ alive.
This is going to be a weekly joke now. I'm just going to do this every week.
You've just got to drop it in somewhere, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Hitchcock's cameos. I'm going to get one in every week.
Yeah, Jesus. So we're now starting to sort of move away from football, and we've got other questions from our listeners who sent in things on Twitter. God bless them. And Adam Petruccione, who people will know from AI and from several podcasts and articles and all the rest of it, he said, considering events this week, what is your favorite dystopian movie? And then he's got a follow-up question, which is, which Liverpool player could save the world gone wrong? Now, I do like
Lallana.
just quit it. First of all, favorite dystopian movie. I've got a great shout here, but I'm waiting to hear what you think. So, Carl, you start the ball rolling there, fella.
I think you're going to say Brazil, so I'm going to go 1984.
I'm not going to say Brazil, but okay. 1984 is obviously the granddaddy of the shouts, I guess. Cam, if you had to pick a sort of dystopian movie, what would you go with?
Oh, what do I go with? Do I go with Terminator? Do I go with Matrix? Do I go with Blade Runner? Or do I go with one that I really enjoy for no real reason? And that was 12 Monkeys with Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I have fond memories of that. I'd like to see it again. I'd like to see it again and remember if it was genuine. They're all very good. That's a good little bundle you've thrown out there. And Guy in the background has fired in V for Vendetta, which is
very good. That's a great shot.
I would go with Children of Men, which I enjoyed massively. It's pretty bleak, but there's a kind of a hopeful ending to it. I did like that. I don't know if you've seen that, but if you haven't, I'd recommend it. The Liverpool player. Oh, it's actually a Liverpool tie in there because Clive Owen is a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
And he's the lead in that. Which Liverpool player, Adam wonders, could save a world gone wrong? So who are you going to drop into your dystopian world there to lead us to safety? Not Adam Lallana, Carl. Who would you pick?
Oh, you spoil sport.
Don't worry, Carl, I'll say it.
Go on. Yeah, you can do that. I don't know. Virgil van Dijk's the obvious one, isn't it? Because he can basically bring down planes with a wave of his arm.
Exactly. It's got to be Virgil. There's literally no choice.
He is basically RoboCop.
Yeah, it's either Virgil or Allison. You want this, the massive alpha male type. That's basically it, I would have thought.
Can't I have Jamie Milner?
Jimmy Milner's a good shout, and he is very much in that alpha bracket, to be fair to him. I have a slight inkling that Sadio Mane might be a devious little bastard who have plenty of, sort of cunning and hidden skills. So I'm for a dark horse shout, I'm going to go with Sadio Mane, but I do think, that's Jimmy Milner's probably a great shout.
I think Sadio Mane wearing a silver cloak. That's amazing.
That's nice. That is nice. Yeah. We're all there. Now, there are two questions which cross over here. One's from Liz, who's taking the piss out of me by asking, what's an unreasonable amount to pay for a winter hat? Because I spent a lot of money on a winter hat there recently. And the other one is from Jay Reed, who says, given the colder weather, what one piece of clothing would you recommend as essential to your winter wardrobe? And he says, for me, it's a good stylish bobble hat. Now, I know for a fact, Carl Coppock, that you're not putting a bobble hat anywhere near your
Absolutely,
head.
No way. No way.
You see, so for you, this is not an option. Either Liz's question is not going to be something you're going to be able to answer, and you're not going to be able to agree with Jay. So what is your one essential winter wardrobe? And you can't go for your fifth week in a row with your moleskin.
The parka.
The parka.
I finally got the parka, the one I want. It's most of it is fake fur. The hood itself weighs £17. It's yes. huge.
Yeah, well,
so that's good. But I mentioned that before. So I'd say a stout pair of walking brogues, because I'm a man who falls over a lot, as my wrist will testify. Yeah. I do like a decent brogue in the winter.
Yeah. That's actually a very good shout, because cold feet is probably the worst thing.
Yeah.
That's a really good shout. Actually, I'd sort of forgotten that. Cam, if you were to pick one item, first of all, can I ask you the hat question? If you were going to, I presume you do own at least one bobble hat, yes?
No.
You don't? You're not a hat guy either, are you?
No, I'll wear a hat. I like a nice hat, but I don't have a bobble hat.
Okay, so you do have a woolly hat of some sort, yes?
Yeah, just a little.
Okay, well, to Liz's question, what would be the most you would consider forking out for a woolly hat, a winter hat?
How much did you pay? That's the important question here.
Yeah, now I'm listening.
I bought a very, very nice Philadelphia Eagles NFL official hat. They do bobble hats very well.
Okay,
I could have bought a whole range of them. I don't have any massive affiliation or anything. So I did like that.
You chose the right team. I'll give you that. The Eagles was a team.
Well, I liked it because it was green. You know, it's nice. It's a nice looking hat. So that cost me 32 of your best euros.
All right, okay, that's cheaper than I thought it would be. Official NFL merchandise. I think that's quite reasonable.
It's all right, yeah. It's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
what,
yeah. I think Liz is just trying to wind you up a little bit there.
Would you go that far?
No, I'd probably go 20, 25 maybe. Quid.
Yeah.
£8.99. What, from the
pound shop? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But to be fair, Guy reckons it's a jumper. Gotta love a jumper.
Yeah, he's spot on, and it needs to be one with reindeers on.
A reindeer?
Well, I'd actually say that this week I was looking at a Ralph Lauren cable knit jumper.
Ah, now you're talking.
I do like a cable knit.
You're talking my language, because today, or yesterday, I bought a beautiful green cable knit jumper, a pair of jeans to go with it, and of course, it being me, a sort of a green woolly hat to go with it. The whole thing from my local, what do you guys call it? Is it Primark, Premark?
Yeah,
cost me €24.
Nice.
For the whole lot. Yeah, it's quality. It's a really, really nice one. It's decent. It's in decent nick. It's not going to stretch. I was chuffed a bit with that. Yeah, cable knit's a good shout on the back of Guy's jumper shout and Carl's stylish angle on it. Our next question is, again, back to more apocalyptic themes from Mo. And Mo says,
our Mo Chakra, is it?
It's not.
Oh.
He says, we all know the Mongols were murdering savages who did terrible things to those that they conquered. My question is, who from this current era would you send back in time to be dealt with by the Mongols?
Oh, God, okay. We've been there before.
We have.
Yeah. Basically, this will be called Who Are We Killing This Week?
It's the, it really is the usual suspects, you know. But I'm not gonna jump the gun. I'm gonna give you guys free rein here. If there's a particular group or individuals that you'd like to send, who would it be to get the full treatment from Mongols?
Well,
have you ever listened to the Dan Carlin history podcast series about the Mongols, because if you haven't, folks, do.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, it's tremendous. It's just tremendous. Anyway, sorry, I cut across you, Carl.
Well, taking the obvious ones aside, Ian Duncan Smith from people like that.
Yeah. Your manservant. Your manservant.
Yeah, the staff. Yeah. I'll try and keep this light. Oh, man.
It goes so against the grain with you.
I know. Joey from Bread.
Yeah, Joey from Bread's a great shout. God bless you. That's a wonderful shout. That show, oh man.
You know why? He had a bigger crime than that. He produced the film Sliding Doors.
He did not.
Yep. That's him.
Stewart,
I think his name is.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned that before, Carl.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That is just glorious trivia that was obviously lost on me until now.
Yeah, well, I was gonna have that as my favourite dystopian film because it's still annoying whichever way she chooses.
It's either John Hannah or something worse.
Yeah. My friend Danielle Warren is shouting at me at the moment. I can just feel it from America. She loves that film.
Honestly.
And we've fallen out more than once about it, yeah. It's the worst film ever made.
Best not.
Even Joe Simpson doesn't like it, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Joe likes some bad stuff, so.
he's a very nice man, Joe, and he gives things a chance. He gives things a chance. Cam, if you had to pick an individual or a group to go back and get some Mongol treatment, who would it be?
Racists.
That's a big fucking bus you're driving back there.
I'll fucking drive it. And I'll come back for more of them.
I was going to say, just keep doing round trips.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I just think right now society is completely and utterly fucked and racism is rife. So all you fucking racists can do one. Sorry, I'm having a little mini rant there.
I think you should cut it down to the people who go to Tobby Robinson events. Because they actually got out of bed to do it.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing how they can afford to use their benefit check to get all the way down to London.
Yeah, straight up.
Oh, controversial. Well, they've gone to the effort of gathering one spot for you, Cam, so you can just load them up.
I took them down, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite heavy. You've brought it to a dark spot there, Cam. But
sorry.
No.
I was going to go
more Man United way, you know, like everything connected with Man United, but then that would mean the family as well, and I'm not sure that wouldn't go down too well with them.
Well, I my shout was Neil Warnock, and now I feel bad about it.
No, don't feel bad.
Can I have a late shout for Chris Sutton? Because on Radio 5 he called Harry Kane Sir Harry Kane without any irony.
Oh God, is that a thing?
He called him because I do taekwondo on Monday night, so I've got Radio 5 coming back, and he said, yeah, you know, he's got to play the ball square to Sir Harry Kane. He didn't mean it as a sort of I called him Sir, isn't that wacky? He genuinely meant called him Sir Harry Kane.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
What do you think was going on there? Was it just stunning ignorance?
He's always talking about them all the time.
All right. Okay. So it was just sort of like fanboying.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll give you, again, it's gone a bit off topic, but I was driving back. Remember, I was on the M4 and I was driving back from where I think I've been to Wales for the weekend. And it was the weekend of the Tottenham-Rochdale game at Wembley, when Rochdale were winning. I was actually at Rochdale. With about 10 minutes to go, Chris Sutton was the pundit along with the commentator. And I've never heard the commentator before or since. And he said, okay, it's 2-1 here. There's 8 minutes to go. They're bringing on Harry Kane. He said, we're just going to stop here and look around at the Rochdale players and look at the fear in their faces. And they were giggling about it. And I just thought, I hope to God you're working on hospital radio by the end of the week, mate. And that's no offence to anyone who does hospital radio. But I just thought that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. No one shakes when a substitute comes on if you're 2-1 up. And he was trying to make out they were genuinely scared at the sight of Harry Kane with his slightly bizarre hair. I just thought, and Chris Sutton was calling him Sir Harry Kane then as well. Sorry, he's the best player in the world.
Very strange. Very strange.
Honestly, it's deeply disturbing. Yeah, so if you've got room in your truck there, Cam, whack him in the back for me, will you?
Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, he can have a chat with Neil Warnock. They'll enjoy it.
And Joey from Bread's Leather Trousers.
And Joey from Bread is there as well.
Let's throw Mourinho in there as well.
Oh, I don't know. He's good for business, Jose.
He is. I won't keep that lad around just because it's gloriously awful at the moment. We are coming towards the end. I do want to talk. I'm going to give you a choice of topics, right? Just to finish us off. So, we can talk. We can get our standard one, which is your Netflix recommendation of the week.
Oh, me and Cam have got half an hour on this.
Well, we've got like 3 minutes. So
are you watching it, Carl?
I just finished episode 5.
Oh, have you? I just finished 6.
Well, I'm delighted for you that nobody knows what you've talked about there. Fair play to you.
Well, that's the beauty of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Well,
we're setting it up.
My point is, I'm not gonna talk about Netflix. I'm gonna talk about what you've been doing to crumpets.
No.
Yes, I'm going to talk about that because it needs to be aired publicly. Because
so regardless, there's going to be a horror finish. I like what you've done.
Exactly. This is dark, folks.
So this is the haunting of Branch House, not the haunting of.
Exactly. This is dark, dark stuff. I mean, for whatever reason,
I've got something worse, you know.
I don't know if I'm going to be able for.
There is.
No, not that I've done. Forget me now. I've got.
Oh,
some
we talked about this in the week, didn't we? Yeah, I know what this is.
No, we can't forget what you've done.
Let's just forget what I've done. It wasn't bad.
It was bad.
It's not bad. Just let it go, lads. It's fine.
You were putting savory toppings on crumpets, including.
What's wrong with that?
Including, if I recall correctly, some sort of a chili sauce.
Sweet chili sauce.
Thai sweet chili sauce. Why not? If you don't try it, how are you gonna know?
Mate. It's wrong.
Isn't food about experimenting?
Yeah. No. Do you know what?
Yes, no. You tell me now. Let's have this conversation.
You see the little space on the back of that bus in between Jose and Neil Warnock? Squeeze yourself in there, kid.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're all right.
This
is a million times worse.
What is this more egregious sin than you've committed that you want to point out?
All right, think Jaffa Cakes and think Guy Drinker and HP Sauce. Forget the dry Guy Drinker in that. I thought Guy Drinker because he mentioned HP Sauce one. There was somebody on Twitter who said they have Jaffa Cakes with HP Sauce. Now tell me, my crumpet delight is nothing compared to that. That is murdering a Jaffa Cake.
Yeah. To be fair, that's like the people who have mash up Weetabix with hot milk. That's just animalistic behavior.
Well, I'm delighted to tell that woman that she is pregnant. Because there's no other... pineapple and coal. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. To be fair, that is the one legitimate excuse for that kind of behavior.
Congratulations. I hope you're
congratulations.
Very, very
I hope you're hope Junior is a delight. because quite frankly, that's the only thing that explains that. Wow, HP and Jaffa Cakes. That is gloriously awful. We will come back next week to what you were chatting about there, which is the haunting of Hill House. I think I've been watching Making Murder. I want to talk to you about that and Kathleen, who's my new fascination. But we will come back.
She's playing number 6. She's playing number 6 for Liverpool.
She is playing number 6 for Liverpool. That
makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, but in that good way. No?
No, not in a good way. Definitely not in a good way. She just makes my skin. She's vicious, isn't she?
You're going to have to listen on the red button, chaps.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the bonus content will have a full Kathleen conversation. We'll come back to that at a later date. We should finish up because it's getting into the danger zone here for going too long. And that will be it for this episode of the Anfield Index podcast. Before we go, as usual, I want to ask the lads if they have anything to flag up or any final thoughts. So, Carl, you usually start with yourself.
And I'm going to go. I like to go for the stuff which no one's ever going to go near ever. I've just written, it's out late November, but I've just written the History of Commercial Street, London E1 for the Ripperologist magazine.
Fantastic.
No one's going to go anywhere near that whatsoever, but I actually really enjoyed doing it.
How do you access that?
You can buy it? It's basically an online mag. They send you a PDF by email.
And, okay.
If you go to the Ripperologist at Mango Books, if you have an interest in this sort of thing, then you can get all the back copies free. I've been on the cover twice, and they're joking that I might be on, but this might be my third.
Love it. Love it. Cam, any specific thing you want to plug or any final thoughts?
Just a final thought. Be crazy. Be stupid. Be silly. Be weird. Be whatever. Because life is too short to be anything but happy.
Ooh, Lee's quote of the week is getting it's getting increasingly saccharine. That's who's that? Is that anyone in particular? Or is that one of your random ones that you've just pulled off?
That's a random one, my mate Anonymous.
Yeah, you do like your mate Anonymous.
He says a lot, that bloke, doesn't he?
He does.
He don't stop.
Keeps to himself.
That's, he's an awful pint, because all he just does is talking maxims all the time.
He's a shit pint. anyway.
Never buys a round.
Never buys a round.
He goes missing, you know. Doesn't he, that Anonymous? Anyway, let's finish up with me thanking you, our treasure listeners, for the support that you give us every week. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you if you would to spread the word about the show. I said last week that what we're going to do is, from hopefully next week on, we'll have someone on either at this time or at some point during the show to talk a little bit about some of the good stuff that's happening over on AI Pro. But it will be in the form of a wee chat that fits the feel of this show. So it's not going to be like a sort of a blatant jarring advertisement or anything like that.
Are they going to nick our space?
No, it will fit right. No, it's us. It's us doing it. It's just us talking talking to lads what we know who are doing nice stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's from next week. But for now, and as ever, if you can pass on the comparative delights that you've listened to tonight, I would really appreciate that. I know Carl and Cam.
And retweet us. Retweet us. That's what we want.
Yes, do the retweeting, because it's an old idea. Oh, you can't retweet me, but
retweet me.
Retweet the lads. Anyway, from myself and Cam and Carl and Guy, I've been Trev Downey. Until we speak to you again, be kind to your fellow Reds and stay safe out there. Podcast Network.